Everything is based on the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder and chair of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Our talk today is about making up your mind. So I have something a little funny in this connection. A man died, and he went to the pearly gates. St. Peter met him there, and he said, "We've looked at your life, and you really didn't do anything particularly decisive. You were so neutral and passive in your approach to good and higher things. Now, we tend to think this is not the place for you. Can you give us any reason why we shouldn't deny you entrance?" The newly arrived soul thought for a moment and replied, "Yeah, I was once driving along. I came upon a woman who was being harassed by a group of bikers. So I pulled over, I took out my tire iron, and I went up to the leader of the bikers. He was a big, muscular, hairy guy with tattoos all over. He had a ring pierced through his nose. Well, I tore the nose ring out of his nose, and I told him and his gang they better stop bothering the woman or they'd have to deal with me." "I'm impressed," St. Peter said. "When did this happen?" "About 2 minutes ago." Our topic today is having a made-up mind. The dreams in your heart are not going to come to pass without opposition, without delays, without difficulties, without critics, without setbacks. There'll be plenty of temptation along the way to throw in the towel, lose your focus, and retreat instead of moving forward. But if you're going to achieve victory, you have to have a made-up mind. If you give up after the fifth time, or the tenth time, or the 40th time, it really means you didn't want it badly enough. There should be a lofty goal in your life which you are relentless about pursuing. You're not discouraged by the critics who come out of the woodwork. You're not discouraged by the obstacles that come in the way. However many setbacks that you may have had, you're not deterred by delays, difficulties, and apparent dead ends. You have the attitude that I'm not going to ever stop believing in this dream. I will continue pursuing it to my last breath. I believe that if I can't accomplish it in this lifetime, well, I'll finish it in the next. I'm not going to take no for an answer. I'm not going to settle for average. I'm going to keep on after what Krishna or God has put into my heart. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's more than just willpower. You know that people are suffering for lack of God consciousness. You know that God has incarnated in the form of His holy names. Any bona fide name of God is non-different from Him. When you chant a name of God which comes to us through the authorized scriptures, you have the Supreme Personality of Godhead dancing on the tip of your tongue. And thereby you associate with power, associate with strength, associate with creativity, with discernment, with determination, all the qualities that you need in order to become everything that God created you for. You know also that God created you to be an instrument in the fight against ignorance and misery. And when you match up that kind of knowing with that level of willing of having a made-up mind, there isn't any force in the universe that can stop you. You'll build temples, you'll organize festivals, you'll write best-selling books, you'll raise powerful children, you'll head up successful businesses, you'll take more ground for the kingdom. William Wilberforce was a member of English Parliament from Yorkshire. He waged a 30-year battle against the slave trade in England. Once tired and frustrated, he opened his Bible, and out of his Bible, a small piece of paper fell to the floor. It was a letter which had been written to him by John Wesley shortly before he passed away. Wilberforce read it again. Quote, "Unless the divine power has raised you up, I see not how you can go through your glorious enterprise in opposing the abominable practice of slavery. Unless God has raised you up for this very thing, you will be worn out by the opposition of men and devils. But if God before you, who be against you? Are all of them together stronger than God? Never get tired of doing good. Go on in the name of God and in the power of His might. William Wilberforce's campaign led to the Slavery Abolition Act of 1833, which abolished slavery in most of the British Empire. Wilberforce died 3 days after the passage of that law. It is said here in the Bhagavad Gita, "For him who has conquered the mind is the best of friends. But for one who has failed to do so, his mind will remain the greatest enemy." Normal people are dominated by their feelings. Normal people are dominated by moodiness, by fears, by resentments. Their brains are addled by self-interest and the short-term indulgence of their appetites. When normal people would come to the point of letting go, you keep on. You persist. You keep pursuing. You get to work on time every day. You let your spouse have the last word in the name of peace, even though she's wrong. You pick up the trash, your trash, and you don't even mind picking up other people's trash. You're an A student. You keep a good attitude while everyone around you is complaining. Why do you keep up when others fall short? Why? Because you're not normal. You have a vision based on knowledge. You have willpower which is matched by the Lord. You recognize yourself as a child of the Most High God. Like your Heavenly Father has a made-up mind, you are your Father's child. You also have a made-up mind. When you come to that point, you'll find there's an incredible surge of personal power when you firmly make up your mind to pursue a God-given dream. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. When that happens, not only will you get a surge of personal power, but you'll discover that others will pick up on your determined frame of mind. Whether it's family members, co-workers, or business clients, they will begin to understand that you have made up your mind to do something different from the crowd. A tipping point in one person always creates a tipping point in those around them. When you strengthen your mind in the mornings by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, and we have beads for that purpose, you find yourself going through the day affirmatively thinking and saying things like, yes, I can do this. I can build that temple. Yes, I can do this. I can raise that child. Yes, this is the right thing to do. I'm going to give that client a full refund. Yes, this is going to be a success. Many, many lives will be changed for the better. And in addition to increasing your own personal sense of power, another personal benefit will be that having a made-up mind makes it much easier to determine your priorities. You now have a prime target, and your priorities can be slimmed down and geared up to reach that target. Your priorities are the to-do items that are going to bring fruition to the dream. Making firm decisions literally frees up a lot of your mental bandwidth. There's so much less that you need to pay attention to because you've made up your mind. So all those other choices that you've been vacillating about can just fall off your to-do list. All those worries and conundrums that you had previously are no longer an option. Why? Because you made up your mind. Let's refer to the story in the Srimad Bhagavatam of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva was the great grandson of the creator of the universe, Lord Brahma. Many, many millennia ago, he was a 5-year-old boy trying to crawl up onto the lap of his father, the king. Now, wouldn't you agree that every 5-year-old boy should have the right to get up on his father's lap? So it was extremely unfair that his stepmother, a younger and prettier wife from Dhruva's mother, who had captured the fancy of the king, stopped him from getting on the lap of his father with these extremely cruel and hurtful words. She said, "If you at all desire to rise to the throne of the king, then you have to undergo severe austerities. First of all, you must satisfy the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna, and then when you're favored by him because of such worship, you can take your next birth from my womb." As a snake, when it's hit by a stick, breathes very heavily. Dhruva Maharaj, who, although he was only 5 years old, had the hot temperament of the warrior class, being struck by the strong words of his stepmother, began to breathe heavily because of great anger. When he saw that his father, sitting up there on the throne, was silent, did not protest, he immediately left and went to his mother. His mother said something very interesting. Rather than feed the fires of Dhruva's anger and frustration, she said, "What has been spoken by my younger, more attractive co-wife, Suruchi, your stepmother, although very harsh to hear, is factual. If you desire to sit on the throne, then give up your anger, don't fight battles that don't matter, keep a good attitude, and try to do what your stepmother has asked you to do. With a made-up mind, engage yourself in worshiping the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is so great that by worshiping his lotus feet, your great-grandfather, Lord Brahma, acquired the necessary qualifications to create the universe." She continues, "My dear boy, he's very kindly disposed to his devotees. Persons seeking liberation from the cycle of birth and death always take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service. Becoming purified and executing your devotional duties, just situate Krishna, the Supreme Lord, in your heart and with a made-up mind, engage always in his service. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari." Ironically, instructions of his critic, his ill-wisher, Suruchi, were spot on for his achieving his destiny. And therefore, after due consideration, with a made-up mind, he left his father's house and he went into the jungle. Why do you go into the jungle? Because that's where saints and sages went in order to find God. But being a five-year-old boy, he didn't know anything about God. So he'd ask the deer, "Are you God?" He asked the tiger, "Are you God?" He asked the birds, "Are you God?" Finally, showing pity on him, the great sage Narada Muni appeared before Dhruva Maharaj, and Dhruva said, "Are you God?" Narada said, "No, I'm a servant of God." Well, Dhruva said, "Can you show me God?" He said, "I can show you God, but not now. You're 5 years old. Get real. It's a jungle. You don't have a chance out here. You're too immature. You don't have a protector. You're doomed. I will show you God when you're older. So you please just go back home, grow up a little bit, and come back later." This was a test. Narada Muni was trying to intimidate Dhruva, saying, "You're too young. You've got too much stacked up against you. The forest is too dangerous for a man, what to speak of a five-year-old boy. Go home and come back when you're older." But because Dhruva had a made-up mind, he said that not only do I want to claim the kingdom of my father, but I'm upping the stakes. Seeing as how I've come to all this trouble of risking my life in the jungle, the stakes are higher now. Now I'm after a kingdom greater than that of my great-grandfather, Brahma. Why would he be emboldened to ask that big? Because he knows that God created millions and millions of universes. And should he be able to see God, that wouldn't be a problem for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he said to Narada Muni, "This is my fixed determination. Now you either help me or you go home." This is what we call mouthing off to your elders. Notice that Dhruva Maharaj didn't feel sorry for himself. He wasn't having a pity party, nor did he let Narada Muni talk him out of it. He passed the test, which meant that he did not get intimidated by the tremendous odds against him. Similarly, when you have a made-up mind, there are less things to consider, less things to worry about, less things to be afraid of. Dhruva had a warrior mentality. He told himself, I'm not quitting. I'm not settling for less. There is greatness in me inherited from the Almighty Lord. Eventually, he took the throne of a kingdom greater than his great-grandfather. When you look up at the stars in the night, the brightest star is the North Star. And that's where Dhruva presides, even to this day. Well, if he could do that, my question to you today is, how badly do you want to fulfill the God-centered desires in your heart? Bad enough to outlast the opposition? Bad enough to overlook some insult? Bad enough to get out of your comfort zone? Bad enough to bypass the battles that don't matter and rise above the rest? For many of us, delays and difficulties are simply tests. These things weed the unqualified people out. If you can't get over what someone said about you, or if you have to go and pay someone back for what they did to you, you're going to keep losing your power. You won't have the strength to sustain what God wants you to do. If you're going to get victory, you have to be more determined than the opposition. If you give up every time someone says boo, that means you don't want it bad enough. You have to say, I'm in it to win it, no matter how long this takes. 70 years ago, the British had a victorious army that was part of the Allied forces that had just defeated Hitler. The British had an air force, they had an army, they had guns, they had a 200-year record of conquests all over the world, and they saw India as the crest jewel of their empire. Churchill pointedly said, England will never quit India. But I'm here tonight to tell you, all that was no match for a 90-pound, nonviolent pacifist who had made up his mind that Britain's time in India was over. It took him 30 years, 18 years of which Gandhiji spent in jail cells, but India had their freedom at midnight, August 15th, 1947, ending 200 years of British rule. Now, if Gandhi had thought, I'm small, they're big, they have guns and I don't, I'm physically weak and they're big hulking brutes, they have all the gold, I have none, they don't mind using violence to achieve their goals and I refuse to do so, if he had thought that, he would have totally missed his destiny. Prabhupada, the founder of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, says here, paraphrasing him, one should be extremely eager and actually learn how to cry to be engaged in some type of divine service. The excessive greed for service in Sanskrit is called lolyam, and such tears are the symptom of one who has a made-up mind. If you're going to see what you're believing for, you have to be able to do what others are not willing to do. Others may not believe when it looks impossible. Others may tell you it's a waste of time. Don't bother getting your hopes up. The odds against you are too great. Many people, perhaps even friends, even relatives, will think you're a fool for even trying. You have to be able to respond by saying, I know, Lord, that this looks impossible, but I also know that you can do the impossible. There are people against me, but I know that you, Lord, are for me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Someone says, oh, I turned in 3 applications. Took me 2 whole hours. All 3 companies turned me down. I don't think I'll ever find a job. I don't have what it takes. It's probably true. You don't have what it takes. If you really had your mind made up, you'd submit 30 applications until you got accepted. And if that didn't do it, you'd submit 30 more and keep on submitting until you got accepted. Well, I dated 2 times and they both told me I wasn't their type. I don't think I'll ever get married. You don't want it bad enough. There are several million other girls out there. You remember the pictures of the settlers going west in their Conestoga wagons? said California or bust. That's lolum. That's what we're talking about, a made-up mind. Excellence or bust. A good attitude, even if I'm not being treated right, or bust. Integrity, when all those around me are compromising, or bust. Spiritual world, or bust. Fulfill my God-given dreams, or bust. When the odds are against you, you have to make up your mind to a new level. Prabhupada, our spiritual master, had a one-way ticket to America in 1965 with the idea of establishing Krishna consciousness and spreading the gospel of the Bhagavad Gita in the Western countries. He was already 70 years old. He burned his bridges back in India. People told him he would fail in America without good health, without youth, without money, without friends, without patrons. People said the odds are all against you. And you know what? He liked that just fine. He said, either I shall succeed in America or die trying. He knew something precious. He knew that Krishna likes the underdog. The Pandavas against the Kauravas at Kurukshetra were underdogs. Ram and the monkeys against the Rakshasas of Ravana were underdogs. Dhruva alone in the forest as a five-year-old boy was an underdog. If you study it, Krishna has a long history of bringing his devotees from the bottom to the top and from the back to the front. You and Krishna are a majority. Millions of Western youths in the 60s were steeped in sensuality, hedonism, whimsy, impersonalism, and yet they were no match for one elderly, upright Indian Swami who had a made-up mind. Prabhupada's ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, now has 800 centers worldwide. Temples, restaurants, farms, books in every home, festivals in every city. The time is not far off when human beings will have to struggle harder to avoid Krishna consciousness philosophy than to just simply surrender to it. Krishna is asking you tonight, make it easy on yourself and easy on your loved ones. Don't live without a God-given dream. Don't miss the great adventure he has in store for you because you don't want it badly enough. If you will associate with the Lord by chanting his holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, he will reveal within your heart seeds, ideas, insights, strength, joy, creativity. Beyond your wildest imagination, he will take you to places you could never go on your own. Today, the Lord of millions of universes is offering you his sponsorship, his partnership, his patronage, his protection. Not all the forces of darkness will be able to hold you back because you and him are a majority. With his wind behind your sails, nothing can stop you. People may say, you haven't got a chance to accomplish that dream. You are an underdog. Our critics are not telling us anything that we don't already know. We know the mission is great. We know we could never accomplish it ourselves. We know we're the underdogs, but we also know that we are Krishna's underdogs, and that is the greatest position of power in the universe. Like with Gandhi, who conquered an empire, like with Wilberforce, who abolished slavery in England, like with five-year-old Dhruva, who reclaimed a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma, like with Prabhupada, who sparked a worldwide revolution of consciousness, you too, with a made-up mind, will overcome all obstacles, defeat every enemy, and become everything you were created to be in this life and in the next life. Go back to home, back to Godhead.